Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Stephen Medan.
This is Jeff Ellis, and it is Monday, January 16th, 2012. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Episode 7.52, the Divisional Recap Show.
Oh, what a weekend of football.
Yes.
4-8 teams entered, 4 teams left.
That's right, and it was the 4 teams I thought, except for one.
Besides that, you were right there.
Yeah, you're the same way as the 4 teams you thought, except for one.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And it just goes, Jeffrey, you know what? It's funny. After the Ravens beat the Texans, I saw the stat where no team, since 1990 when they went to this format.
The current playoff format.
No, it had never happened where all the home teams had won all 8 games in the wild card of the
division. I knew that.
Round.
I actually knew that going into the and knowing that I was taking
all the
home
teams.
Those were my picks.
And so when the Ravens lost, I was like, well, you know what? That just means that the Packers are really going to lose, so I'm good with my Giants pick.
And you really thought that the Patriots were going to lose?
I'm sorry. The Packers. I say Patriots.
Yeah.
I meant Packers.
Okay.
I said the Packers are going to lose. That means I'm good with my Giants pick.
There you go.
So there you go. We were at a great game. We were we're going to bring you some great stories from San Francisco, and Jeffrey, I'm going to go out on a limb this time and even tease some more good stuff for NFL.
Oh, come on.
We'll get to all of that in
such
a moment.
Such a tease. That's very strange, Stephen. You're in mono. What's up with that?
Know. Hey, you guys are the ones that touch.
Hey, James,
you guys don't let me touch any of that stuff.
James,
there,
we've got Stephen's iPad in mono,
yeah.
And I bet mine in mono. Or mine doesn't show up at all, actually, which is good.
Well, there
so
you go.
I think the iPad connector ones
yeah.
cords are in the wrong slot.
That's a well.
But
we're
you know what, Stephen. We're pros.
Yes, we are.
We just keep working.
Episode 7.52, divisional recap. We're going to talk about those 4 games, Jeff. But before we do that,
Steve is 3-4.
We've got some NFL news.
NFL news. Boom, boom.
And we'll start in St. Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri. Yes. Jeff Fisher.
Should I say St. Louis? Because people will say, it's not St. Louis. Don't call it St. Louis.
I like that Jim White says St. Louis because he doesn't know better of Sky Sports. People from Britain, many of them have never heard of St. Louis, Missouri.
Right.
And they see it, and so they say it the way it sounds, which would be French, which would be St. Louis.
St. Louis, yes.
And so
yes.
I like that a lot.
Yes, I like the St. Louis as well. Anyways, Jeffrey, starting there tomorrow, the Rams will announce Jeff Fisher is their head coach.
We already knew that, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't think we ever talked about it on the show.
Oh, okay. I thought so. Maybe because.
Work and work, busy bee.
In a press conference tomorrow at 1 p.m., will announce him as their head coach. He'll also announce that he has brought defensive coordinator Greg Williams from the New Orleans Saints.
Sucks losing a game, doesn't it?
It does.
Dang.
So do you think because of how they lost that game?
I don't know. They didn't play good defense.
They didn't give him too much grief when he said, I'm stepping down.
Oh, there's the door, by the way.
They were like, all right, see you later.
I don't
think
know.
Think that's the way it played out?
You know, here's the thing. If Jeff Fisher had not gone back so far with Greg Williams when I think it was 2002 to 2007
that he was
the offensive or the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans,
yep.
That I would say that there's a probability of that. But if I'm Jeff Fisher and I'm putting together my staff, you want your guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, what were those Titans known for, Stephen? It was being ferocious on defense, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so Jeff wants to get back to Titans football the way that it used to be, only now with the Rams. And so he goes back to his roots. And he goes back to the guys that he was with last, and that's Greg Williams.
And now the Rams also are very close to getting Brian Schottenheimer for
the
offensive
Jets.
Coordinator. As a matter of fact, our latest sources tell us
that they have extended
the offer. He's pretty much said he's going to take it.
Now, my problem with that hire is what was the biggest problem in New York this year, aside from all the backstabbing? It was the offense.
I don't know. Their defense
took a step backwards.
Jet defense.
And The Jets' offense took a step backwards.
Did the Jets' offense take a step backwards, or did Mark Sanchez take a step backwards?
Mark Sanchez took a really big step backwards. Did LaDainian Tomlinson take a step forward or backward?
No, I think he's
He took a step forward, though. But in his swan song season, Stephen, I saw him play really good football when he was on the field.
Which was not much.
Again. But this team, I didn't see the offense as being that good in New York with the Jets. And now he's going to go and be the offensive coordinator. And, again, working with the young quarterback, Sam Bradford, another offensive coordinator for Sam to have to deal with. I sure hope we're not looking at another Alex Smith situation where it'll be 6 years into his career before he finds stability and success.
I don't think so. I think that one thing about Jeff Fisher teams is his nucleus of people. They stay together for a while. It's not like every year
there's not a lot of turnover. Hence the reason he took so long to make his decision.
Right.
He wanted to make sure it was a solid place that was not going anywhere. And now he's putting the people in place.
Oh, by the way, Jeff,
You
guys might be coming to L.A. next year. So
my name's Jeff, too. He said, oh, by the way, Jeff, you got my attention. I'm like, what? You might be coming to L.A. Got here.
Sorry, Jeff Fisher.
I just drove 400 miles to get here.
Jeffrey, how was spending extra time in the Bay Area? Did you get to go to Alcatraz?
No.
Did you get to see the place where they throw the fish? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's Seattle.
Did you go over the Golden Gate Bridge?
No.
Did you do anything fun in San Francisco after I left?
I met about a dozen really fun people watching the Ravens-Texans game. That was fun.
At
a bar,
Francesca's. Francesca's.
It was a bar.
Was there an owner and her name was Francesca?
Yes, there was. And that was 60 years ago. Oh. And now her daughter runs the place.
And is her name Francesca?
No. Her mom's name is still the name on the bar.
Okay. All right.
And I tell you, that bartender makes the meanest Bloody Mary I've ever had in my life. And let me tell you the secret sauce to that.
Okay.
If anyone's a big bartending fan out there, holy macanoli, crispy bacon.
Crispy bacon.
So Bloody Marys.
You've now gotten to the point of putting bacon in your drinks.
Again, what's better than bacon? Steven, answer
Nobody.
Me.
Nobody.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fun.
Nothing.
I love doing that.
Nothing.
What's better than bacon?
Nothing.
No. More bacon.
Oh, more bacon.
You know, see, James knew. James more bacon. James, what's better than bacon?
More bacon.
Exactly.
More bacon,
so
he says.
Here's how you make generally a Bloody Mary. You take some Worcestershire sauce. You take vodka. You take tomato juice, a little salt, a little pepper, and you have some olives, stuffed olives, and then you have a little stalk of celery in it, and you mix it all up on ice, and you got yourself a Bloody Mary. The secret sauce here, on top of this, is a piece of crispy bacon.
I see.
Oh, and you take a few splashes of Tabasco sauce. And it's just got a little bit of a bite to it with the Worcestershire sauce and stuff.
I'm good. I don't need to ever have one.
It's quite tasty. So, but the bacon, man, you just dip it in the drink. And then you add this little salty, greasy thing to it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Now I got to go puke because that just sounds disgusting.
The
drink by itself sounds disgusting. Right. Then you're going to throw the bacon in there. Just going to make me puke.
Well, that's all to say. They're nice folks there in Mountain View. And they started liking us on Facebook. So what are you going to do, you know?
Well, that's awesome.
They're cool football people.
Nice.
And then the late game was really fun. Went to Pam and Herb's.
Okay.
And on Herb's 60-inch TV.
How are Pam and Herb doing?
Pam and Herb are great, but the kids are so huge.
Really?
Ian is like 14 now, and he's got hair down to his shoulders, still playing hockey, still a goalie. I mean, he's ridiculously big, and Quinn is motor mouth as ever. And we had a really nice time there. The girls just talked forever. This is my wife and one of her best friends from childhood. Yeah. They had a blast. So,
all right. Well, John Elway declaring that Tim Tebow has earned the right to be the starting QB heading into Broncos camp next year.
What?
Yeah, that was sarcastic, by the way. Emma.
Yeah.
Excuse you?
Elway has
Tim Tebow has earned the right to actually work for the starting job in camp?
To start camp as the guy. Camp. Yes, yes.
Now, mind you, there'll still be several quarterbacks around competing for
absolutely.
Your job. And more than happy to take your job, and there'll be a president more than happy to give your job away.
Here is the exact
Tim.
Quote by John Elway.
Yeah.
Well, I think Tim's earned the right to be the starting quarterback going into training camp next year.
That's touching.
I think he made some good strides this year. He obviously played very well against Pittsburgh and played very well in a lot of football games.
Yeah, he did. He took you guys from oblivion into the playoffs and a playoff win. So for that, you say he certainly played well sometimes.
Yeah.
And look, the fact
And he will go into training camp as the starting QB.
And if he doesn't, what kind of moronic move would that be on John Elway's part?
Well, so, here's my question.
You have to say, go ahead.
Does he come out of training camp as the starting QB?
Well, here's my question.
Here's
my question.
Who are the other QBs that will be there? No?
Here's my question. How much time is Mr. Elway going to spend with Mr. Tebow this offseason? More? I'm going to put the over-under out there, and you tell me, because this is all I need to know.
Okay.
The number is 8, and the item is hours, and the category is per week. 8 hours per week. Over-under this entire offseason, John Elway and Tim Tebow, just the two of them with other coaches and wide receivers and a jugs machine.
Under.
Less than I don't think he's got a chance. John needs to work with him that much every day. Not 7 days a week, 5 days a week.
John's not a coach.
John is the president of the Denver Broncos, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
But he's not a coach.
Therefore, you know why he took the job? Because he loves winning and he loves the Broncos.
Yeah.
Therefore, the best chance the Broncos have is to make Tim Tebow a good quarterback.
Okay.
The best way to do that is to put a Hall of Fame quarterback around him. Work with your staff.
Some good quarterback
coaches.
Send
him to a camp? I mean, what, was he supposed to go to Peyton Manning's little camp for quarterbacks? Hell's bells, son. You got a Hall of Famer on your staff getting paid. Might as well spend 8 hours a week. What else is John going to be doing this offseason?
Tim Tebow will never be able to run an offense as John Elway did.
Nope. Just learn from him.
Okay.
Just learn some things. Then when you go into camp, you have a fair chance of making it out of camp as a starter.
Look, I'm just reporting what John Elway said. I'm not saying that I agree or disagree or anything.
Well, it is your place to have opinions to opine.
And I asked you the question. Will he come out of camp as the QB?
And I say
he's
if
going
John doesn't
camp,
spend at least 8 hours a week with him, no.
No. All right. Big announcement from longtime
How
NFL
big?
Coach.
How big?
Pretty big.
Should I get some kettle drums ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give them to me.
So just a sec. I got to find them. I mean, but if
well,
it's a big
So you don't even know what the
kettle
drums.
Well, no. I just got to – just a sec. You just got to be patient.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Oh, no. Get the dramatic – there it is.
Mike Martz is retiring from coaching.
What?
Yeah, again, it's just – it doesn't really fit.
No, it doesn't.
You know what? We wish Mike Martz would have quit last year.
Yeah.
He has messed with the heads of so many offenses around this league. He had and I hear Steve in North England screaming into his iPod right now.
Yeah.
But the greatest show on turf was unbelievable. The greatest show on turf was over a decade ago. Okay, friends? And what have you done lately is all anyone in the NFL gives a damn about. And what have you done lately, Mike Martz? Nothing. You continue to install complex, ridiculously complex defenses and frequently take quarterbacks who might have turned out to be decent quarterbacks, which we'll never know, and just confuse them to death. Make them so uncertain and so unsure of themselves. It is a very special thing that you had there with His Highness of the St. Louis Rams days, current Arizona resident and NFL Network co-host. You're not even listening to me. So
I am. I'm trying to.
The quarterback for the Rams in the glory.
Kurt Warner.
Thank you.
Well, I'm thinking,
was
he going back to Trent Green?
No, it was very rare. And you know what? He had a smart quarterback at Trent Green.
He did.
A very smart quarterback. Trent was so smart that his brain hurt. Oh, that was from getting hit on the head. Ow. Yeah, but yeah, it's so rare that you have somebody of this caliber that you can put so much into and continue to expect good things to happen.
I'm just saying goodbye to Mike Martz. That's it. I'm not saying anything good.
I am.
I'm saying
good riddance.
I'm just saying goodbye.
And I'm saying good riddance.
Another news. Oh, well, you know, we'll obviously be talking about the Green Bay Packers and their collapse.
Will we?
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
But Miss America. Apparently, it did not.
Tell me. I would have queued up Sticks Miss America.
Okay. But apparently, it didn't faze her one bit. That the Green Bay Packers lost, upon winning her crown. This is funny.
Okay, please get to the point because Miss America and football, these are things that do not have anything
upon,
in common.
Upon winning her crown, Laura Kepler had a special message for Aaron Rodgers. She said, if you're watching Aaron Rodgers, call me.
Boom.
Just like that.
Wow. No discount, double check, no nothing. No. Just call me?
No discount, double. No, just like, if you're watching. See, that's the thing about I remember being an athlete.
Yeah.
You don't really have to do anything to attract the opposite sex. Because you get Miss America saying, call me. There you go.
I don't know what that's like. You know, Steven, I was one of the best swimmers in the state of California.
Okay.
It's one of the best in the United States of America.
And you didn't have women.
I was very young.
You didn't know
I retired at 14.
Yeah.
And I never got to live that dream.
Yeah, because at 14, you got to be.
And I was a swimmer.
Yeah.
So unless you're an Olympian,
Michael Phelps is getting some.
Olympian.
Call me.
Olympian.
Okay. Yes.
I was 0.03 of a second away from qualifying for the Junior Olympics when I was 14, when I finally hung it up, hung up my Speedo, so to speak, until Steven pulled it out for retirement purposes. yes, thank you. And, you know, I never got any special attention because of my sports prowess. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the top swimmers in the nation.
Yeah.
I was on the best team in the world.
But you weren't really like in high school when you were like.
That's when I quit.
A dude, and women would be like,
"No, I was 14, dude. It was like my freshman year in high school."
Yeah,
and I went the musical route. I went orchestra, jazz band, and bailed on the swimming because it was giving me ulcers. So I ended up at the hospital from stress.
Well, if you're listening, just check out the swimsuit competition of the Miss America contest. Aaron Rodgers has got it made if he sort of wants to pursue that route. what?
I'm just going to keep playing boom. Anything in the romantic world, it's just John Madden's going to.
All right.
Yeah, there it is. Get it done. Get her done. That's John's way of saying get her done, Steven. Boom. Get her done.
We have some.
Yeah, I'm standing by.
Some news of parental help again in the NFL as Archie Manning has come out and said Peyton kind of likes his roots in Indianapolis, and he wants to stay there.
Thanks, Dad.
As the NFL files this one under for what it's worth.
That would be the – in other words, we don't have anything else to put in this space.
Yeah, yeah. For what
we would if we could. We couldn't sell the ad space, so we're going to put this in instead.
Now, there's a great read out there by a friend of the show, Jason Lockenfora, where he talks about the four different Super Bowl possibilities.
Yes.
Because there's four of them.
And two of them are uber sexy.
Yes. The uber sexy ones would be Patriots at Giants, a rematch of, you know, Super Bowl 42 when the Giants beat the then previously undefeated New England Patriots.
They were 19-0.
No, they were 18-1.
18-1. They were 18-0 going into the game.
That's right, 18-0 going into the game. And the possibility of the brothers, Harbaugh, John and Jim.
Harbaugh Bowl
Niners,
redo.
Ravens playing the Super Bowl.
Which, that's the one that is most interesting to me as far as storylines.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
I think that's fun. That would carry itself easy work that week at the Super Bowl.
Then there's a rematch of the only Super Bowl of all the Super Bowls in existence that I've never seen, Baltimore, New York Giants. And why did I not see that Super Bowl? You should know because you were with me.
We were at the opening of California Adventure.
The opening of good pull, dog.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about
How many Super Bowls do we miss? We've missed the same number of Super Bowls. One.
You've only missed one?
Yes.
I can't. You mean previously that you've seen all the others.
Yeah, I woke up in Cambodia at like
whatever
6 a.m.
to watch it.
6 a.m. to watch the game in whatever they speak. Cambodian?
Yeah.
I don't know what they speak. I guess Cambodian. And so on a black and white TV, I'm watching basically Sky Sports coverage. So it's the same thing. There's studio hosts speaking Vietnamese, and then the broadcast is the American broadcast. Right. And then during commercials, they throw it back to the Vietnamese guy. Or
so those are the three Super Bowls that have – that they're Super Bowl lines. You know, Giants-Patriots, Giants-Ravens, those are rematches. And then the Harbaugh Niners-Ravens. So what does that mean? In all likelihood, the Super Bowl that will happen is Patriots-Niners because there are, like, no storylines.
Yeah, there's no storylines except for these are the two best teams left in the tournament.
There you go. There you go.
And so that's the one I most want to see as a game. But as far as – it's so funny. Peter King retweeted. Someone asked him a question, which is, which do you root for the do you root for the teams you think should win or the teams that you want to win? And he replied basically, I root for the team which story I've already written. And if I haven't written the story yet, then I root for the upset and the underdog always.
Right.
And that's how I feel, Steven. We're working Radio Row that week.
Yeah.
The Harbaugh Bowl sequel, that story writes itself.
Yes.
That's simple. That means we have a week with more fun and less effort.
Yes.
Okay, so that's kind of the one I'm rooting for because that one, the storylines take care of itself, the guests take care of itself, the Q&A takes care of itself, the interviews take care of itself. What we're asked as interviewees, it takes care of itself.
Yes.
It's like a no-brainer. Mail it in. Done. Outcome, don't know. Yes. Yeah, and just enjoy it. And by the way, the 49ers would kill the Ravens right now. This 49ers team, although you do have defense versus defense, which would be fun.
It's a much different game than Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yep. Absolutely. Remember, that was a very short week. That was a Sunday night to Thursday short week.
Yes, for the Niners.
For the 49ers, and to travel across the country, and you're already going to be in town for an entire week.
Right.
So I give it to the 49ers because that last one was close, and Baltimore had all the advantages. But anyways, so I love Peter's thing. He writes a lot of his stuff ahead of time and then throws it away if he doesn't if it changes. So he writes what he thinks is going to happen.
Right.
Just because he got a lot of stuff to write. Oh, dang it, it turned out differently. I got to rewrite it. That's fine.
Right.
But you do your work just in case it's a slam dunk. I can get to bed early. But otherwise, he roots for the dog, and I like that. That's kind of how I feel. It's like I want the easy Super Bowl so we can have the most fun, but I am going to root with my heart for the – come on, the Patriots, the Patriots Niners. That'd be one heck of a game.
But I think – I think Niners-Ravens will be more fun to cover simply because of the players and how they will be willing to engage with media. If you have Giants, Patriots, and with their coaching staff, those players might not be as engaging.
They may not even let any of their players talk to anybody that week.
Exactly.
You're right.
So,
but, you know, that's I want Ray Lewis.
I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm having fun. I don't care.
I want the whole crew. They got the crazies there in Baltimore, and I like them. Speaking of, let's get to the game,
shall we? They have the crazies.
They do, man. Those guys are awesome. That's the intro to the show. Yeah. Let's get to the
Let's get to – but before the games, you definitely want to make sure you listen to the next episode where – once again, Jeffrey, we will have players from several of the organizations in the championship games.
What?
I knew Emma was going to ask me that. That's right. So far, I have been
commitments.
Received commitments from the Niners, the Giants, and the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots.
We're not saying that the Patriots aren't cooperating.
No, we're just saying that at this
point they haven't gotten back to us yet.
That is correct.
So
is what
you know, draw your inferences as you will, but. There's one team that hasn't gotten back to us yet. So, we go to football, Steven.
All right, we'll start off Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Where the San Francisco 49ers hosted the New Orleans Saints. Jeffrey, let's just – here was our morning. We got up.
Well,
got out of the hotel
the day before.
Yes.
That was very smart.
We got up.
That was very smart.
Got out of the hotel. Had a decent breakfast. Thank you very much.
Holiday Inn Express,
Holiday Inn Express.
Free. What do you want?
Jumped in the car, went and dropped off your wife, drove to the stadium. And that was a quite painless experience driving to the stadium.
Well, it was 9:30 in the morning. It was 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. The game kicks off for 5 hours.
Yeah, but the gates opened at 8:30.
I know. And so I figured there would be a rush right at the beginning.
Right.
And then there would be a lull as people start trickling in.
Yeah.
And that was, in fact, what happened.
Yes.
That we went to a very full parking lot.
Yes.
But this gates had only been open for a half hour.
But we did a good job. We found a place where we could park and we'd have easy access to get out.
The furthest parking you can possibly find there. And so that we could jump on the freeway as quickly as we needed to.
And we walked. We went into our press box.
Oh, but now, the whole walk?
The
you're going to ignore the walk? The walk was awesome.
Sitting there. We have a picture we haven't put up yet. Picture of us on Bill Walsh.
Oh,
not
yeah.
On Bill Walsh, the place, but the street.
Yeah, Bill Walsh Bill Avenue Walsh or something.
And so that's pretty cool.
Where's that? Is that on my phone?
It's on my iPad, actually.
It's on your iPad. Okay.
Yes. And then, you know, just all of the spreads. I mean, there's we went through the RV park. Where it costs $80,
yeah,
by the way.
Your RV. And
bring
somebody
an RV.
Had rented an RV just to bring to the RV parking
yes.
area.
Well, I like the guys that had rented the big, long stretch Hummer limo.
Oh, yeah.
And that's they're all nice. Piling out of this Hummer limo. And it's like, well, just
yes,
like, whose idea was this? Like,
all of us. We all knew what we had to do.
Exactly.
And then I have not put up that piece of meat, Steven, that I took with my phone.
Oh,
someone's
yes.
grilling a tri-tip.
Oh my god! I was like, dude,
it was too pink for you at this point.
Well, yeah,
I still need another 45 minutes to cook on the Barbie.
I was like, can I be your friend?
That tri-tip, I just kept getting my nose down.
But
it
what was
so
impressive
good.
Is the RV where they had kind of like the tent, and they had the big screen TV, and they had this really long table, and they had poinsettias, red 49er poinsettias on the table. They had the wine glasses, and
this is all to say they brought the women.
Oh, they did bring the women,
and the ladies.
All the ladies,
did it nice.
Yeah, the women. I'm telling you, I was like, that's the tailgate spot I want.
That's pretty nice.
And then we saw a rhino.
Oh, my God. I took that picture with my
you
phone.
You took that picture, I think.
I got to get my phone unloaded and
we
gotta
get
those pictures
up. We got to get some of those pictures up.
Because we put up a lot of fun pictures on Facebook and Twitter this weekend.
Yes,
but which we hope you enjoyed, but not all of them. Because when you shoot on multiple devices, it gets really confusing.
It
Where's that picture? Oh, I don't know.
So good stuff there. I do like the reaction shot you took of me after the Vernon Davis.
That was the best. You know, Stephen, why I turned around so quickly?
Why?
Okay, so here's we'll do nonlinear storytelling.
Yes, this is because we're at the end of the game.
We're at the very end of the game. Vernon Davis scores a touchdown, and the 49ers win. There's 9 seconds left on the clock, and that's game over.
Yeah.
And I turn around because the eruption from the crowd was so loud.
Yes.
That's what forced me to spin around.
Yeah,
and I spun around, and there's Steven with just this shoot-eating grin on his face, to put it politely, just looking like that was one of the most fun things I've ever seen in
my
life.
It was awesome. I had just yelled touchdown, and I was just
I spin around, and I take his picture, and I haven't seen a better picture of you, frankly.
So immediately after that, I took my iPad to get the reaction of the crowd. We put that up.
A panorama.
Of the crowd.
Just cheering
just,
and screaming and crazy.
Going crazy.
You got to realize, everybody, again, nonlinear storytelling. Everybody in the planet was expecting the 49ers to settle for a field goal.
Yes.
Everybody except for Jim Harbaugh, except for Alex Smith.
And Stephen
except
Miranda.
For Vernon Davis. Stephen Miranda, what did you expect? Not what did you think a team should do. What did you expect?
When he spiked the ball, I knew they were going for the end zone. I knew they were going to throw. I said, their next pass is going to be third down. So Vernon Davis had just caught that 40-yarder to
yes,
get him down position.
And Alex, Frank Gore did a 20-yard run.
This was after the Frank Gore
okay.
run. So 40, so get him in position. And then Alex got them
rushes
up the line of scrimmage,
spikes
and they spiked
it.
The ball. I said, this next pass, he's throwing it in the end zone.
Now, this isn't anywhere near me because
I'm
this, at the back
yeah,
of the
yeah,
end
yeah.
zone.
We're, and I'm
and Steven's near
the back
crowd.
Of the, near the crowd and the back of the end zone as well. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm Harbaugh. I'm thinking I'm putting it in the end zone right here. And I'm telling Alex Smith, if he's not there, throw it away. And then we'll take the field goal. But we're going to throw this ball into the end zone.
You remember, Steve, did you hear – you told me about the press conference
afterwards. He said,
"Where coach says, someone says, what's that play called?"
He said, "Vernon Davis post."
Vernon Davis.
And
post.
I told Alex, "It's Vernon Davis or nobody."
Yeah.
He said,
not
you're
that we don't trust Michael Crabtree, but you've dropped six passes today.
It's not like we don't trust anybody else, but it's Vernon Davis, nobody.
We don't trust
He's not there. Throw it away. Then we'll take the field goal. But we're throwing this ball into the end zone
for
a touchdown.
If you get it to Vernon, get it to Vernon. And Vernon got open. And, Steven, honestly, I had shot every play up to that one play with my camera. And I shoot at about 8 frames a second on my Canon.
Right.
So I shot hundreds of frames in that last drive. And I put the camera to my side because I knew they were going to take the field goal.
You really thought that was going to happen.
So I pull out my camera when Vernon is on the ground with the football, cradling it.
Touchdown.
And Roman Harper's laid out there unconscious practically, and I start shooting pictures again.
So you didn't get the touchdown. You got the celebration afterwards.
Exactly.
Because you didn't think they were going to throw it in the
game. I was so confident that this is the 49ers. They don't believe in themselves.
And now that
I come
to think about it, that's, I think, why I was so happy, that expression of the picture
you
took that I posted up there. Because
this is Steven going, that's how you play football.
You play to
win the game.
Not to lose. Don't play not to lose. Play to win. And
you
that's why
you play to win the game.
Absolutely.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Not to lose it.
That's right.
You can't play, I don't want to lose this game.
You know, and I think this actually goes along with it nicely, too, is Coach Brian Billick.
Folks, when you go into the Lions' den, you don't tippy toe in. You carry a spear, you go in screaming like a banshee, you kick whatever door's in and say, where's the son of a b-? If you go in any other way, you're going to lose.
And I think
that's how Coach Harbaugh coached, Steven. And I'm thinking very specifically when we were still up in the press box of the bootleg sweep keep by Alex Smith. That none of us had seen all season. We all know Alex can run and extend plays. We all know that.
Right.
He's not Ben Roethlisberger or anything, but he can run. And inexplicably, there's an important 3rd and 7. And Alex rolls left. They bunched everybody on the right.
And the key here is that they were in field goal range, so they could have
taken
the league with a field goal.
But you know what? They decided we're going to take a chance of losing yards and putting ourselves out of field goal range. But you know what? They're not going to see it coming. They've been blitzing like mad. They've been over-pursuing.
The run.
They've been over-pursuing, and we're going to bite them for over-pursuing.
And beautiful play call, because this was 2 plays prior to this. Frank Gore had gashed him for that long run to get him into that position.
And so they did a sweep. Alex just rolls left. Everybody's stacked
Gore
to the right.
Everyone went to go tackle him.
And he had one guy that he needed a block from a linebacker.
And
linebacker laid down his block. Easy first down and change.
Yeah.
It was touchdown. Alex Smith.
Yeah, he ran up.
And at that point, I should have known because I'm like, Jim Harbaugh is playing with nothing to lose. Nothing to lose, everything to win.
Yeah.
Nobody expects us to win, so guess what? I'm going to leave it all out there.
So after that touchdown, that's when we decided, well, let's get down to the field.
Yeah.
And we're going down to the
field. Well, they were reviewing it. That was the deal, wasn't it?
That's right.
They were reviewing
to see
that.
Whether he stepped out of bounds.
Which he totally hadn't.
Right.
And we're like, we need to get on the field at some point now, for the post game, so let's get down there now.
As we're walking down, Jeff and I don't even know. Did you go through the other tunnel?
I went the wrong one, and I got scolded by security when I got to the chain.
Okay.
After I passed the chain, security told me I had to go down to the other one, and I said, do you want me to go back? He says, no. I said, okay. So that's where I was.
So I'm looking back up.
Like aisle 10.
Behind me.
Looking for me,
saying,
and I'm not there.
Why is he not following me? I'm like, darn it.
Well, you're running, and I've realized I had to pee.
Okay.
Steven,
so
I had to pee, if you recall, at halftime when we did TV.
Yeah.
We did a hit for Sky Sports at halftime.
That's right.
An audio only from the phones. And I had to pee before that, and I never got to the bathroom. So you start running, Steven, at that point. 4:02
left in the game. Because I didn't want to miss a play.
And I start running, and my bladder says, dude, you're such a moron. You didn't pee.
Yeah.
I warned you 2 hours ago that you needed to pee, and I'm going to make you pay for it.
Did
you
pee your
pants?
So I had
to walk. No, I had to walk.
Oh, so you couldn't run. You just had to walk.
I had to walk.
Yes. So Jeff's not following me, so I stop. Now,
and I stopped.
I stopped to watch Jimmy Graham touchdown.
That's what I stopped to watch.
Place is silent except for this couple. They're both wearing Jimmy Graham jerseys.
Nuh-uh!
She jumps on him. He catches her, and they pretend to do a dry hump, to put it
clean, my gosh.
Right there in the stands,
oh,
basically.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like saying, I can't believe this is how this game is going to end.
Well, you know, I'm – okay, so that's your reality. My reality, one section over.
Okay.
Closer to the end zone than you, because I just wanted to enter the closest point to the field.
Right.
And we're knowing that we have to be in the end zone. So I'm there, and I stop. Drew Brees drops back to throw. I stop. And I happen to be standing right next to a very old man, in his 80s at least, wearing a New Orleans Saints jacket.
Okay.
Only Saints fan around. Jimmy Graham hauls it in. What goes through my mind? I can't believe this is how the season's going to end. But I'm like, but it's to my boyfriend. Boy, talk about ambivalence. This is what goes through my mind in like a nanosecond.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about ambivalence. So this is how the 49ers season comes to an end. And I look at this old man, and he wants to high-five somebody so badly. But he's surrounded by 49ers fans.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you can high-five me. And I didn't say it was my boyfriend. I didn't say anything like that. I didn't want to freak anybody out.
Yeah.
And I high-fived the old man, and then I just proceeded onto the field. So you and I thought the exact same thing. So that's how this ends. That's
so
remarkable. That's how this ends.
Saints kick the extra point. I'm looking back. I don't see you. And then I look back, and there you are, traipsing across the field. I'm like, freaking out.
He's in front of me.
Goes off without me. I'm over here waiting for him. So anyway, I go down.
You ran.
And that's why I caught you down at the end. Now we knew we were together down at the end zone. And we watched that last drive, which is coming to us.
How do you get so lucky as to be in the end zone where the play is coming right at you? Remember when we were in Lambeau for the Brett Favre return? And all the touchdowns were in the end zone?
Came straight to us.
We were in the stands. We had paid for those tickets.
Yeah, we were fans.
But
then
we were in the end zone that all
and
the
all
plays
the Lambeau
happened.
Leaps happened into that
How
end zone.
Fun! Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, we're actually in the – and again, we're in the end zone for the game-winning or the tying field goal. That's all I'm thinking.
No, I was like, man, they're going to score a touchdown. After that first Vernon Davis catch, which first of all, how in the world he got that wide open
BD.
For that grab, I'm like, man, immediately to me was like, okay, you're already in field goal range, but don't settle for that. And when he threw it the next down, I was like, they're scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's not playing to kick a field goal.
And let me give a small cap tip to Mike Singletary, who's taken a lot of grief this season. Because this is largely, as Mindy Bach pointed out, the same cast of characters that Mike Singletary proceeded to get three wins with last year. Well, there's one guy on this team that I think Singletary had the strongest influence on, and it was Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
He rode Vernon Davis like a dog. He rode him so hard to force him to mature as an individual. And I think Vernon is better man for it. And Vernon was able to do what he did this weekend because Singletary was his coach. I personally believe that.
Most yards by a tight end in the postseason, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns on 7 catches. Dude balled.
He did. There wasn't a lot of ball. One of the things that surprised me about this game, and as people try and categorize it, where does it rank in playoff games, is that what has to be taken into account is that the middle half, if you take a half of a game and divide it between quarters, like the first quarter and the fourth, the third and second quarters weren't that interesting.
I don't recall that. I think it was the third quarter.
A lot of defense.
I think it was the third quarter because the second quarter went all the way to halftime.
And the fans were just so emotionally up and down.
Yep.
And the angst.
Well, come on. The Niners took a 17-0 lead.
And when I went up to get food, Steven, the lady at the concessions area screamed at me, "We need 2 more touchdowns.
Well,
and I'm like, lady, you're up 17-0.
As it turns out, they needed 3, but okay.
And she says, "We need 2 more touchdowns. I'm like, that's fine. Can I just have a chili dog and be good? I mean, and a Diet Coke and be on my way? We need 2 touchdowns. Okay. But just you're being greedy, girl.
I hear you. No, it was 17-0. The Saints came back. But, like, it went down right before halftime. The Saints were driving. The Niners stopped them. They got good field position. Then the Saints sacked Alex Smith, their only turnover of the game. Smith fumbled. The Saints had the ball right there at midfield with some time. There was a lot of action, just not scoring action. There was a lot of action.
We want to thank Bob Lang and his staff, and especially Curly, for taking care of our telephone needs.
That's right.
Curly, the IT telecom guy, was the best. And the final there again, 36-32, San Francisco 49ers over the New Orleans Saints. And the New Orleans Saints, they didn't do the one and done this year.
No.
But they sure had problems this week.
I like what you said when you were driving crazy to get me to the airport.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did I tell you that I was able to change my flight to Burbank instead of LAX?
Uh-uh. I got you there so early you could change your flight?
No. It was, well, the flights, there was the, both flights left at 8 o'clock.
Oh, I see. So you're supposed to go in Long Beach.
Right, to LAX.
Oh, LAX.
We just didn't get the Burbank one because it was like $100 more.
Oh.
And so I'm get there, and I still had my media credential.
You don't know when you got these things on. And people are like, you were at the game?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know I'm at the game? I'm not wearing anything.
Yeah.
You intentionally do not wear team colors.
Don't wear any gear. Right,
you're not supposed to wear team colors if you're representing the media. And so you've got – mine's on my waist, Steven. So I didn't even know. I went into Wendy's, and the guy just wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
I just wanted a chicken sandwich.
So I'm like, I was at the game. How do you know? I was there covering it. He's like, well, you got – oh, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Let me take this off.
So I took it off. And he's like, so how was it? He's a big 49er fan.
Of course he is.
And so we talk a little bit, and I'm like, Eric, I'm here pretty early. I'm on a flight.
Pretty early, because my partner is so amazing as a driver.
So I'm like, I need to go. I'm going to LAX, but is there any way you could put me on the Burbank flight? And he looks it up, and he's like, that's $80. I'm like, oh, come on. You're going to charge me $80?
The day the 49ers
won?
We just
talked about the Niners, baby. And he's like, hold on one second. And he flicked
it.
Oh,
my gosh, Stevie.
That's
so cool.
I'll take care of you this time.
And that's so cool.
Put me on the Burbank flight.
That's so cool.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm like, come on, man. I could get home so much sooner if I go to Burbank. And he's like, let's see what I could do.
Wow, am I jealous. Wow.
Totally.
I'm so jealous.
Picked it for me.
I drove to my mother-in-law's house. That's cool. That's cool. No, really, happy for you.
Thanks.
Really happy for you.
Oh. Sad story. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked in my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen. Did you step in some shaving cream at your mother-in-law's house?
There was landmines everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I managed to avoid nary all of them.
Nary all of them.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I had an enjoyable flight home. We have probably some new listeners from that flight, and for everybody who flew home with me from San Francisco to Burbank, thank
so
you
funny.
For listening.
Welcome to the party.
Welcome to the podcast and the party here.
Okay, dude, we got to do respect to the remaining three games.
Yes, we do. So
we're not
going, but we'll start with the following, that evening's game. The New England Patriots hosting the Denver Broncos, and the Tebow train fell off the rails.
Derailed. The 8-8 season was magical. You were down four.
It was that magical again.
You guys were in last place.
They were 1-4 in
last freaking place.
They had no business. But here's the thing: as I was watching this game on tape delay, as Bender said, I Tebow. And I'm watching this game, and obviously missing, fast forwarding through all the huddles and all the commercials and stuff. And I started to get sad right around the point where it was 28-0.
Because no one's going to ask you about Tebow for another 8 months?
No. Now I was a little happy about that.
Okay,
but where I started feeling sad is I started feeling sad for teams like the Oakland Raiders and the San Diego Chargers.
Yes.
And
the
Pittsburgh
Kansas City Chiefs.
Steelers.
You want to talk about the rest of the AFC West?
And thinking to myself saying, boy, how I wish I would have seen some of those teams
advanced
play.
Rather.
Right
this
here,
game, yes.
Then the New England Patriots. I was like,
rather
man,
than the Denver Broncos,
I much rather would have seen the Pittsburgh Steelers come
play the Broncos.
New England,
yes,
and see if they could have done
play the Patriots. Now I'm
saying
play
the backwards. Patriots instead of the Broncos, because
it would have been
to
a better
me,
game.
Clearly,
they were outmatched.
The Denver Broncos
outclassed.
Did not belong in that football game.
Look, you gave Bill Belichick an entire game to game plan for you.
Yes,
we've already played him once.
They could not – all of the options that they ran the previous time they met, the Patriots were ready for them.
With the
time.
Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, and the Buffalo Bills. Doesn't it make you feel a little bit more sorry for them knowing that you're going up against Bill Belichick twice a year?
Yeah.
Because you
saw
what
Denver –
you
may get them once, but you're not going to get them next time.
But Denver learned what those teams know so well, which is when he gets a chance to get to know you It's so much harder to beat him. It's so much harder.
At one point, Tom Brady had more touchdown passes than Tebow had completions. And that.
Well, and Tom Brady, what I remember most was when he threw that fifth touchdown pass in the second quarter to give him 5.5 yeah. and set an NFL record for halftime touchdown passes.
And then he goes on to throw a 6-1 and ties the record for most touchdown passes in a postseason game.
And then the inexplicable of a Bill Belichick team, they stopped stepping on the throat of their opponent.
They didn't bury him. I wonder if it was
compassion?
I doubt it. I don't know what it was.
But it might have been. Did they pull any starters, Steven? I didn't look that closely.
To be honest,
You don't know either.
I don't know. And the only reason why
I have to go back and watch the whole game.
The fourth quarter started, and I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to get to the end and see what the final is.
Yeah, it was 12:30.
I couldn't watch anymore. I mean, seriously, the Broncos' offense, I believe, was that inept. And I'm going to give some credit to the Patriots' defense because they played football like they had not played all year long.
Right.
They played. They came
complete
out the
ball. Football.
On the
not just offense,
the right.
but defense too. Special teams too.
And so,
we didn't even talk about Blake Costanzo. This could have been the 49ers show. Blake Costanzo was talking about balling. We had him as a guest last week.
Well, I can't wait to talk to him about.
I know. We're supposed to get him back for this. You want to make sure you watch our 5-Minute Football Fix 49ers Goldmine this week we can actually talk to some of the guys. Blake Costanzo had such a great game last week for the Niners. I feel Chris Berman coming out as I start to run out
thing,
of breath.
The Tom talking. Brady, I mean, Tim Tebow completes 9 passes, and Brady had 6 touchdown passes. Isn't that crazy?
It is. It is. I haven't looked at the stats, as I told Steven.
Well, there it is.
Here.
Tebow, 9 completions.
9 for 26, 136 yards. Quarterback rating of 52.7, which, again, Tom Brady's was 80 points higher. 80 points higher. Now, I can't think of a biblical reference around 80. I don't know what Psalm 80 is.
I don't know.
And Isaiah doesn't go up to 80 chapters, I don't think. So it'd have to be Psalm 80.
45-10, no the final score. References will and come. I think the Patriots served notice. Yeah, yeah. Remember us? I think this was part of it.
Dude, and what did I say last week? The New England Patriots, one thing I know for certain, they will not be one and done 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
This New England Patriots team will never be 3 and out 1 year at 1 year after another. It'll never happen. These guys have way too much pride. It's like there's competitiveness, Steven, that drives wins, right?
Yeah.
And then there's pride. And when you start to get in danger of losing your pride and you've got talent, forget about it.
Gronkowski with 3
he was out of
passes.
His mind. Hernandez was out of his mind. Walker was out of his mind.
Walker with another
it was craziness.
Branch even scored.
Julian Edelman was catching balls.
The
only thing
I got to say is, where you at, 85?
Ocho Cinco.
Dog was on the field for 1 play.
Well, he made that big catch to get him into the playoffs. So, you know, to secure the number 1 seed there in the AFC. And you know what? I don't really care about Ocho. He can do whatever he wants. This is a great team. And
it's 45-10. It's going to be difficult for the Baltimore Ravens.
I pity the fools of the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't. They got a pretty good defense.
They got a really good defense. And they have a C. That was my bad. Okay. That's just my fingers touching my iPad.
Now, their offense. The thing about the Ravens is they can't get in a shootout. If it becomes a shootout, it's over.
They're dead.
But if that defense.
What they bring to the shootout? Is a squirt gun. And you don't bring a squirt gun to a shootout.
But if that Ravens offense, a Ravens defense can get after Brady and harass him.
Get him off his spot.
Hit him. Yeah. And make him move. And he can't throw the passes.
Make him
right when he's ready. They have done that before.
They can have a say in the game then, Steven.
Yes. They have done
that
before.
But that's not even a guarantee of a win. That means they can have a say in the game. Okay. That's the Ravens' best hope.
Discount the Ravens that quickly.
I will.
Okay.
I honestly think that Joe Flacco is looking more like Mark Sanchez than he is Tom Brady. Okay?
This one play from Tebow.
Which one?
Oh, God.
I didn't see much of the game. I got to watch it when I finally get access to my house, Steven.
Oh, yeah. You want to tell people how you've been evicted?
I haven't been evicted. I've been tented out. They had to bring in nuclear devices and gas.
You tried to do it over a weekend.
I spent the weekend in San Francisco for so many reasons. My children were at winter camp with their school.
Yeah.
And my wife wanted to spend time with her mother. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers were hosting a playoff game. And they're going to fumigate my house for termites. This made so much sense.
All right.
Stay up there. We come back Monday. Yeah, it'll all be good.
All I know is that I was getting ready. I was prepping for you because you and I had already talked. You were like, we're going to be here. You're going to be there too.
Dee Dee was driving. She was doing her Jeff impression.
Everything was good. Really?
5 hours door to door.
Wow.
From Redwood City.
And then I see as I'm working, I'm on the phone with some of the PR folks for some of the playoff teams. And I get off the phone and I see a Facebook post. And it's from his son. And he's like, so not happy that I come home from a weekend and I can't get in my house. He's got a picture of the house tented. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, Jordan,
kids
did
got
you just
there about 20 minutes before us.
I'm like, dude, did you just take that picture? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, pobre vato.
Pobre vato. Yes.
And he's like, what does that mean?
It means poor man.
Poor guy. Yeah, poor boy. Poor guy. So anyways, I told him, come over here. You can hang out with me if you need to. And
so courtesy of Terminex, we'll be spending tonight at the nicest hotel in town, which would be cool because we've been at an inexpensive hotel this weekend. And my back is really hating me for sleeping on a crappy bed.
Well,
but tonight I'll be in a good bed.
45-10, the final score. The New England Patriots really took it to the Denver Broncos. And I do believe, as Jeff said, they eased up.
They
eased up.
And I don't blame them because you might as well get ready for the next week because you got the Baltimore Ravens coming to town.
All right, well, that brings us Sunday. To Sunday where the Baltimore Ravens, who will be coming to town in New England, hosted the Houston Texans. The only game I missed of the weekend, Jeffrey.
Yep.
And I'm not sure I missed it.
I'm not sure you missed. What the Sam Hill is that supposed to be?
Well, yes.
I missed the Giants.
The final score.
I acknowledge I missed the Giants.
Yeah,
the Giants
wasn't close.
Exactly,
you missed that game.
Blew out the Packers.
This game went to the
wire. Aaron Rodgers having 20 days off.
We'll get to that one in a minute. I'm saying this game went to the wire.
And went to the wire, Steven. It was dumb. 20 points were scored in the first quarter between the two teams. It was 17-3.
Yeah,
and 13 more points will be scored in this game.
Okay.
After the first quarter.
But what
it was a silly, weird game.
What I'm saying is
dumb mistakes.
Houston was never out of this game, ever.
No,
the Packers
were
out of their game.
I know. But the fact that Houston was ever in this game was a miracle.
Based on all of their turnovers.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
They were apple freaking turnovers, Steven.
Apple freaking turnovers.
It was so dumb. I'm in this bar in Mountain View. With just like 6 or 7 people, and you can still smell everybody from yesterday. They had a packed house the day before for the 49ers game.
And I tweeted, and I don't know if you saw.
I saw your tweets, dude.
Houston wins. Aaron Foster, MVP. Baltimore wins. Houston's Jacoby Jones is the MVP. That fumble. Okay, Houston goes. They drive the field on the opening kickoff. They get 3 points. They force the Ravens to a 3-and-out. The Ravens punt. And Jacoby Jones, for some reason, unknowns to any person on the planet,
including
him.
Yes.
Standing there.
He got indecisive.
He lets the ball bounce. And then he's like,
I think I'm going to field
it. I think I'm going to get it right now.
Oh, wait.
And as soon as he touches it, boom, he gets smacked.
Oh, wait, it's bouncing over my head.
Fumble. And it's recovered by the Ravens. And now the next thing you know, it's 7-3 Baltimore.
Yeah. And when I saw that mistake, I pretty much felt like I knew how the game was going to turn out. Because that told me that this Houston Texans team is feeling a little bit of lightheadedness from the altitude of the thin air that comes with the big stage. And they were ill-prepared, Steven, for the big stage. And I think Gary Kubiak, the entire coaching staff – now, I do believe
if
Matt
see
Schaub,
that at all.
I don't think they played that well.
The only
person
probably who had the worst career ever of his life was Jacoby Jones.
Right.
T.J. Yates did have 3 interceptions.
Aaron Foster rushed for over 100 yards. That was fantastic.
Ravens have never allowed that in
the
postseason.
They do not allow that.
The thing was that they were ready but they had bad things happen at inopportune times.
And that usually goes to the less prepared team, typically. The bad things, that when the ball doesn't bounce your way, it's usually
the less
prepared.
I think they were more prepared. I think they were better prepared than the Ravens. The Ravens are the team that looked awful in this game.
They did look
awful. They won the game, but not because they deserve it. And certainly after Joe Flacco saying that he's the he should get some credit for some wins, I didn't see it in this game. There was absolutely nothing that Joe Flacco did in this game for me to say, way to go, Joe.
You know, people have been too hard on him this season. Not!
And I tell you what, Ed Reed, I don't care how old the dude is, I let him play till he was 50
in a
wheelchair.
He could hurt somebody from a wheelchair.
Absolutely.
He would dive out of that chair and tackle somebody.
And my question to T.J. Yates and the Houston Texans is, look, you got back into this game. It's 20-13.
Yep.
You're driving the field. You've crossed midfield. You're on the Baltimore side of the ball. It's the two-minute warning. You have two timeouts. And on the very next play, right after the two-minute warning, they throw a 50-yard pass into the end zone that gets picked off by Ed Reed. And I'm like, why? Why? You've been marching the ball down. You've got timeouts. You've got Arian Foster. Take what they're giving you. Don't force it deep down. And we're going to get to that.
That's a theme. That is a theme.
With a couple of guys, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, who wouldn't do that. Take what they're giving you. You got plenty of time. You didn't need the 50-yard strike for the TD to Andre Johnson right there. It gets picked off, and that sealed the deal. And I was shocked.
Okay, as we transition games here, talk about the final game of the weekend, the big upset of the weekend, the New York Football Giants going to the frozen of Lambeau and coming out victorious. This is going to take a highlight pencil to the theme of the weekend, which is a life lesson, friends. Take what's given you. Don't force it. Steven, begin.
Well, 37-20, the final score. The Green Bay Packers came out, and they showed rust. They could tell you all they want right now that it wasn't because they had any time off,
20 days off,
or anything like that. Well, I think I had. I'm gonna pat myself on the back here a little bit. I think I had a pretty good tweet. One of the Green Bay reporters tweeted, "Today we saw the moldy cheese," and I replied, "Well, that's what happened to cheese when you leave it out for 2 weeks."
nearly three, Steven.
Well, that's right.
In the case of Aaron Rodgers, remember, it's the Matt
that's
Flynn
right.
show.
He didn't play that last game, so that is what I mean. There was a wide-open Greg Jennings. Aaron Rodgers misses him. Why? A little rust.
Yep.
Drops like crazy. They had a serious case of the dropsies. Wide receivers, not just wide receivers, running backs dropping the ball. Starks dropped the ball. Grant dropped the ball. Tight end. Finley dropped some passes. Greg Jennings dropped a touchdown in the end zone. I mean, everybody was dropping the ball. Everybody seemed like they had a little bit of rust. And I tell you what, I previously was a big fan of, you know what, don't get your guys hurt. Don't play them in a meaningless game. I am now an official
advocate
for you play everybody every single week. You get them out there. You get them ready. And you do not ease up. And I've just seen it too many times. Saw it with the Colts. Saw it with the Green Bay Packers this season.
No, you don't see it with the New England Patriots.
Because they keep playing.
And you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes you're going to lose Julian Edelman. Sometimes you're going to lose Wes Welker. Sometimes you're going to lose a key guy, and that's unfortunate. But we're talking about winning football.
Yeah.
And the way you win football is to stay sharp.
Stay sharp and you keep playing.
And look, if you've got a bye week, heavens, you've got a big enough problem on your hands, friends. You don't need to rest week 17.
I was very confident about the New York Giants going in and winning this game. I didn't think they were going to do it by 17. I thought it would be a 3-4 point victory. And I really did believe that the defense would get after the Packers offense and shut them down a little bit. But this was a team that was averaging 38 points a game.
I know. And then they're at home.
18 points
you're
shy
half of that
of what you're averaging.
And you're at home in front of your crowd and the weather's miserable.
It was shocking.
Is it 2007, Steven?
Shocking to see that.
Is it 2007?
I'm starting to believe that. The only thing, though, is that the Niners are playing some pretty good football themselves.
The Niners are playing fantastic.
So I don't, you know, remember the Giants, last time they went into Lambeau to win in the playoffs, they beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Correct.
Now they got to go to the San Francisco
exactly.
For an NFC Championship game. That's going to be a great game, and I really hope the NFL comes back. Let me check my email real quick. I hope they come back and they let us into this, baby, because I watch.
So, Steve and I, for less everyone thinking, everyone on Facebook, oh, so you guys going back for next week? We're like, duh, of course we are. Well, we didn't know this. Things we learn, we learn stuff every year.
Yeah.
The thing we learned this year is that the divisional round is the last round of the playoffs where the hosting teams have any control over the event.
Yes.
From this point forward, the NFL runs all events. We thought that started at the Pro Bowl.
NFC Championship.
We thought Pro Bowl, Super Bowl was it. The NFL runs the show. But no, it starts with championship weekend.
Yes.
So our credentials were supposed to have been in 6-7 days ago.
Yeah, on the 10th.
We didn't know that. We just thought, you know, the only chance we have of going is if it's the Niners because we can't afford to go otherwise.
Right.
And the Niners went in, so I sent off our stuff this morning, and we hear back, dude, we don't have any control over whether you can go to this game or not.
Yeah.
You got to – and you're missed the deadline. And so send us your special happy thoughts because we need those.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we'll be watching the game from, I don't know, LA Live with Sharon. Sharon at your house.
Sharon at my house?
Why not? Or my house.
Oh, okay.
Mine
coming.
Still might have a
she coming to my house.
Tent over it.
Yeah, you might be tented. Plus, just the fact that, you know, your house was just tented.
Gassed.
I'm not sure I want to come watch
Stevie,
a game there.
I spent
there
4 hours
might be little
critters
bagging, that are, you know, trying to.
If they are, they're dead.
Exactly, but they're going to be dead all over the place. And just
the termites,
you know,
are in the walls.
The fact that they're dead right there doesn't. It's like, it's right there.
It's
I
not
know
supposed
it's there.
To smell at all. Know, there's I'm not supposed kidding. To be any residual stuff.
Trust me, when I bought
all
the house,
food has been
I had
bagged.
This house got
yeah,
tented.
But you didn't have to bag anything because you didn't live in it yet.
We didn't have to bag anything.
Yeah, double bagging everything that
really
ever touches air, like food,
yeah,
toothpaste, everything gets in it. We filled up 7 large bags that had to be double bagged. It was a nightmare. Anyways.
I am very sorry for you.
Anyways. But you know what? I just got a text from the wife. She and my daughter are at your house. So if when we get done here, we can head on over to your house.
Okay.
That's where my family
all
is.
Right, well
my
that,
family's hanging with your family.
That is pretty cool.
And I think based on that, and James brought in food. James? Yeah. French fries.
I want to spend a
totally
little bit of
lame.
Time before we get out of here.
Totally
you,
lame.
Are you? You've got to be kidding me.
He's done
just
it again.
Give me this thing.
He's done it again.
Let it go.
You shouldn't
let
get
it go.
Any. James, let,
it
go.
Go.
Put him
let
down.
It go.
Put him down. You shouldn't get any because yes. You didn't bring us any.
That's right.
I brought you some.
No,
you're
not. These are yours.
I didn't want to interrupt the show like last time.
Oh, James doesn't want to interrupt the show. Since
that's
when?
A bunch of beep.
McDonald's French fries. McDonald's
up.
Doesn't do anything right except for French
up.
Fries. But all of those French fries are good.
They are good. I'll eat it.
All right.
I'm not afraid.
So, Stevie, there's one last thing you want to say.
Yeah.
Very important. I don't know what it was.
People of the world
uh-oh.
Who listen to NFL Rants and Raves and who've been with us for a very long time and have known us as we called Eli Manning Happy Feet.
He's got happy feet.
First of all, one, we haven't called him Happy Feet in about a year and a half.
And second of all, I've been praising him all season.
And third of all, I picked this game. I picked Eli to win.
But fourth of all, he's still got a dorky haircut.
He is a little nerdy.
But, you know,
a little nerdy
you take if given the opportunity and the options afforded to me as an NFL franchise, Steven.
Yeah.
I'm looking down here on the floor. So I'm on the NFC side of the fence over
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I'm looking Arizona Cardinals. I'm frankly at this point looking Dallas Cowboys. Minnesota Vikings, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, St. Louis Rams, Seattle Seahawks, Philadelphia Eagles, maybe not, Cam Newton, maybe not in Carolina, but certainly Washington Redskins, Chicago Bears. All those teams would love to have Eli Manning right now. Love to have Eli Manning right now. All of them.
There are a couple down there that don't want.
I said Carolina's probably happy that they've got a young gunslinger.
Yeah.
And I said I think knowing Philadelphia, they would want to roll with Mike Vick. But honestly.
Final thing.
Eli.
Final thing
love
about
you,
the game.
Love you, but you got a dorky haircut.
For the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
You got to find a running game.
Oh, boy. James Starks.
When Aaron Rodgers.
Ryan Grant.
Is your leading rusher for your football team. You're not going
to
get it done.
But I also think that offensive line is designed to pass protect. They're not designed to run block. And they've got to do some tweaks.
There was something missing. Obviously.
Well, Steven, you're built to be able to throw the ball with a completion percentage of nearly 70%.
What I had said about the Packers is.
If Aaron has a bad day.
If their offense can't make up for the ineptness of the defense.
Yes.
They're going to lose.
They're going to be exploited. If Aaron
because
has a bad day.
Because the defense is, you know, we knew they were the second worst
defense
good. In the league.
No.
But what's making them look so good? Aaron Rodgers putting up 40 points every week. If that doesn't happen, they're going to lose. And that's exactly what happened.
Okay. I'm going to leave our listeners and you with this question as we approach the 66-minute mark here. When Drew Brees lost before my very eyes to kick off the weekend,
yes.
I thought, damn it, there goes his MVP chance. Now, mind you, voters are not supposed to take into account the postseason, but they do.
Yes.
Okay, we're just being honest with you folks. But then Aaron Rodgers went and lost.
Yeah. Brees did more in his game than Rodgers did in his.
Correct. Therefore, did the MVP voting get affected at all by this weekend's games?
It's not supposed to.
I didn't say what's supposed to happen. I didn't say what are the rules. I said, did it or did it not? And you just got to deal with the fact that you, my friend.
Welcome to the hot seat.
I'm not answering. I'm not on the hot seat. You said we were going to leave people with this question.
And they want to hear your thoughts.
So I'm leaving them on the question.
It. They will ponder their own response.
Well, I believe Drew Brees should have been the MVP all along. Prior
you
to
and I both believe that.
But if anything, I think that, you know, you can't really take the – Aaron Rodgers just had a bad game. He was off. And it wasn't just him. I just saw this play. Inexplicably, he throws a little 3-yard pass to Ryan Grant, and that should be an easy first down.
Should be.
And Grant fumbles, and it's picked up by
Oops.
The Giants, and it's taken all the way back to the 5-yard line.
Oops. Did that really happen?
It did.
Oops.
So, there was a lot. There was a lot of problems, and clearly, Jeffrey, if we learned anything this weekend, you cannot turn over the ball in the postseason.
No,
every team that lost the turnover battle.
And by the way, friends, the Green Bay Packers could have lost by a lot more.
Yes,
the officials had some idiotic calls,
some pretty bad calls,
helmet to helmet on something that wasn't even remotely. And there were some really boneheaded calls, and this easily could have been New York Giants 44.
Check this out.
Green Bay 13.
Saints -4 in turnovers. Packers -3 in turnovers. Broncos -2 in turnovers. And the Texans -4 in turnovers. You're not winning postseason games. Those teams I just mentioned, they were all the losers.
So yeah. Defense wins championships, except – with the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots. They're the better defense, did not win.
Yes.
Statistically over the season.
Right.
And then the turnover battle decides things.
I think that's
pretty much football 101,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're not really saying anything
we're
too
not.
Original
I'm just
here.
Showing you the – I'm just I'm
these
just
are
giving
why
you
these things are known as
– And one more thing.
True as, all right, one more
the
thing.
The Green Bay Packers and their onsides kick early in the first half. Now, I got into a big old debate with people on Twitter about this, saying that it was dumb. And they're like, but you were calling the Sean Payton one in the Super Bowl brilliant. And I'm like, if you don't see the difference, you don't know football.
It's not the outcome. It's the situation.
Yes. If you don't know football, you don't – I mean, if you don't know the difference between the Sean Payton onside kick to start the second half in a Super Bowl where nobody's ever done it before.
Oh, yeah, and you're not supposed to win.
Versus a game in the second quarter in the first half that is tied and you're the home team and you're the favorite by a touchdown and a half. Yeah. If you don't see the difference,
yeah,
there's a problem.
Then you got another thing coming. I'm Jeff Ellis.
I'm Stephen Miranda.
You be well.
And this is NFL Rants and Raves. Make sure you join us in 3 days for some good guests.
Follow us on Facebook or we'll tell someone. And we'll be really mean to you.
And Twitter. We're out. And tout.
Tout about it.
And chocolate.